I'm right, and that's all that's important. I'm right, and that's the only thing that means anything. Meanwhile, you got a trail of blood over here of people that have been wounded just because you have worship at the altar of being right. You got folks that are bruised. You got folks that don't want to have anything to do with God anymore because you have wounded them. But you know what? But you know what? The only thing that's important is that you are right.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints.
At my house, and the weatherman said to her, "Well, you know, that's the only thing that really counts is that it wasn't raining at your house." And I told my wife, I said, "Look like they got a little dissension there on the newscast." But you know, the point is that for some people, that's the only thing that counts, you know, is that you're right and that your feelings are protected. And in the meantime, while you are exercising your rightness and you are refusing to reconcile, you are exercising your rightness and you are refusing to be on one accord, Satan comes in. And that's when Satan does his best work. You know, when we have a sense of, well, you know, I'm doing this because I'm protecting myself. I'm doing this because, you know, I don't want to open myself up. You know, in the body of Christ, we need to realize that sometimes that's what it's all about. You know, that to be open and honest with brothers and sisters in Christ so that you can work through issues. Instead of walking around with your jaws all tight and pouting and with your arms folded and saying, "No, I'm not going to reconcile." You know, that's the what is more important here? That you go to stand before God knowing that you had something that you were trying to hold on to, or to stand in the presence of God saying, "Look, you know, God, I put my rights on the side because I felt that it was more important for me to be reconciled to my brother or sister." What do you think God's going to be more pleased with? But yet and still, you know, like I said, many of us, we let Satan come in there, and Satan destroys. He destroys relationships. And that's what Jesus saw. Thank God for the insight that Jesus had to see that this thing was more about, it was more than just Peter. It was about a spiritual battle that was going on. The second thing we see is that sometimes conflict arises because people have unmet needs. They have unmet needs. In Acts chapter 6. And what we're trying to show you is that conflicts do arise in families, on the job, in church. That's just a part of life. And the key is how you handle it. How do you respond to conflict when it arises? Chapter 6 of Acts in verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now here we have Jewish believers and here we have Grecian believers. And a problem arises because the widows of the Hebrew or the Jewish believers were receiving their daily meals on time, and they were getting a balanced meal, and everything was cool. But maybe the Grecian widows, maybe they weren't getting their B1 vitamins, or maybe, you know, they were getting Kool-Aid, and the other group over here is getting orange juice. And so now a problem comes up because somebody's needs are not being met. And we need to see that unmet needs can be a source of conflict. That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, a husband or a wife might be wondering why their spouse got an attitude. You know, "You married to me, you shouldn't have a problem. Look, I do this, I provide, I do this, I do that." You're trying to figure out where is this coming from? Where is this? I'll tell you exactly where it's coming from. Maybe they got some unmet needs. And that is the source of the conflict. And you might need to wake up and smell the coffee. You know, to see that's why, you know, that person is short. That's why they look at you funny in certain situations, because their needs are unmet. And so that can be between godly people. Between godly people, that can be a source of conflict. And if it's not managed properly, if it's not handled, see, once again, you know, here we have the bumping up against each other. And if we don't manage it properly, it could turn into something that is not edifying unto the Lord. Sometimes conflict arises because people have incompatible goals. That we are both in this ship together, but we have different ideas about where we're going. And you know what? That sometimes can be the biggest source of conflict, because people have different ideas about where they want to go. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's good for you to have vision. It's good for you to have dreams. But now when it's caused a rift and it's caused a conflict that cannot be resolved, then that's when it's a problem. In Matthew chapter 20, the mother of James and John came to Jesus, and she makes a request of Jesus. In verse 24, or excuse me, we can go back in verse 21. She came to Jesus, and then in verse 21, he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom." So what was her goal? Her goal was what? To get her sons in a place of prominence. Her goal was to get her sons in the place of recognition. But you know what? There were 10 others that wanted that same place too. That was their goal. All right? And as we read on, but Jesus answered, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of my cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he said unto them, "You shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared by the Father." Verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Wow. They got salty. They got upset because their mother, now, can you, you know what? I don't see anywhere where they say, Mom, don't say, come on, Mom, don't say that. Somewhere along the line, they must have expressed to their mother, "Hey, you know who we hanging out with? We hanging out with Jesus. You know what he did? This is a bad boy. He turned some water into wine. Man, you know what he fed 5,000 men off of some fish and bread. You know, do you know who I'm hanging with?" Somewhere they might have expressed that. But you know, the bad thing is that you got 10 other brothers that thinking the same thing. You know, we all want to get to this place of prominence. And so now here we got a conflict. Now, can you imagine? Here you got 12. See, you know, this gives me hope as a pastor. Oh, God, thank you. This gives me hope as a pastor. That Jesus picked 12. That God in the flesh picked 12. That all-knowing, all-powerful, all Holy Ghost anointed, Jesus picked 12. And they had problems. That don't make my prospect seem as bad. You know, wow. I said, if he did that, and they had issues. But once again, can you see the eggshells that we walk on sometimes as we consider the potential for conflict in relationships? Just something that quick can come in there and cause a problem. In Philippians chapter 4, and you know what? This gets close to home right here, because we're talking about God's people, Philippians. I like what K. Arthur says. If you're looking for the book of Philippians, that it's General Electric Power Company. All right, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, I like that right there. I always remember that when I'm looking for one of these books. General Electric Power Company. All right, Philippians chapter 4. And look here. He says in verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodia and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So evidently, here's two saints in the church that there was a problem. A problem came up between them. And he says, and this is what blows my mind right here. He says, and I entreat thee also, true yellow yoke fellow, help these women. Look at this. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Man, you know, man, Paul took the gospel through the whole world. Paul, one of the greatest missionaries to ever walk the face of the earth, had people that came along with him to minister. And these two ladies labored with him in the gospel. They saw people saved. They saw people get right with God. They saw lives changed. Oh, somebody hear me. Somebody please, please hear me. Please hear me. They labored with him in the gospel. They didn't labor with him at the Honeydew Club. They didn't labor with him down at Chauncey's on the Strip. They labored with him in the gospel with the good news. And now they fell out. Man. You know, how must the heart of God ache when he sees, you know, folk that have fallen, that have labored, that have brought people into the kingdom, and then they fall out. You know, sometimes, man, even as a pastor, it breaks my heart, man, when I see saints in conflict. It really does, because I hate to see that. Once again, you know, I'm in meetings all the time, and I see people bumping up against each other. But you know the beautiful thing? Is that when you bump up against these, you know, it's just like I was sharing with some people the other day. When I was coaching football in college, we would come in during the morning and the players would come in the afternoon. Now, one of the things that we would do all morning is we would look at film of the opposing team. And we would study the film and we would see their plays and what their, we would look at their players and see who their good players were, who their weak players were, what their favorite plays were, how they ran them. And we would study that all morning. And then after we got finished studying, we would sit down and talk about, well, how do we want to defense this play? You know, when we're in third, they're in third and short, you know, they have a tendency to run this play right here. How do we want to defense that? And we would get up there and somebody would say, well, look, you know, this is how we want to defense it. And then the line coach will say, well, look, man, if you think that my player is going to be able to do that, you're crazy. And he said, well, coach, you know, he really needs to do whatever you ask him to do. And we would get back in there, and we would argue about how to defense a play, and guys would get back in there, and it was crazy, man. I mean, they'd be throwing erasers on the floor and throwing markers down and say, we can't do it that way. But you know what? Check this out. Whenever we stood in front of the players at 3 o'clock, when they came in, we were all on the same page. We were all on the same page. And, you know, it's too bad that sometimes the saints can't do that. They can't bump up against each other. They can't, you know, bump up and see how we need to do, how do we do. And after it's all over, we come out on the same page. We come out realizing, so you know the thing that we realized? And maybe this is a problem. We realized that Saturday afternoon was coming. And we realized that when we went out on that field, you know, it wasn't the defensive line coach against the linebacker coach, and it wasn't the linebacker coach against the defensive back coach, but it was our team against their team. And that we needed to come together, and we needed to unify, and we needed to strategize all together so that we could beat the team. See, the problem is sometime in the church is that we think we're battling against each other, and we got to fight against each other. Let's realize that Jesus or Paul said that the battle was not against flesh and blood. The battle was not against each other, but the battle against the enemy. You know, there was a verse that I saw yesterday. Man, where's that verse at? Galatians. I couldn't believe. I've read the Bible through several times, and I couldn't believe I saw this verse yesterday. I missed it all these years. I missed this verse. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Galatians 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But that's not the verse. I knew that one was there. That's not the one. It's the one after that. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Wow. Man, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed, that you are not eaten up, and you become ineffective. You become ineffective. And here, look at these two ladies, Eutychia and Syntyche. Look at them. They labored with Paul in the gospel. They had been effective. They had seen people come to Christ. Let me ask this question. And once again, this is only speculation on my part, but how much fruit were they bearing at this time? They were too busy fighting. I don't know that for a fact. You know, the text doesn't give us that indication. But as I say, in my sanctified imagination, I would think that they're not being effective. As a matter of fact, if Paul knew it, and Paul wasn't even there, he's writing to tell them to get the mess straightened out. Because why? It's hindering the gospel. And so we need to see that. That unresolved conflict hinders the gospel. Why? Because people stop, for some odd reason, people either stop ministering or they become crippled in their ministry. And so we need to see that conflict, the bumping of heads. Oh, thank God that he anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. Oh, man, let me hit two more and I'm going to be done. See, I didn't even get bumping head without doing damage. I'll tell you what, we might be here for a little bit. We might be in this series for a little bit. You know, I was reading a statistic yesterday, and it said that potentials for church conflict, and number one was, I forget what number one was, but I remember, no, you know what number two was? A capital campaign, building program. That's number two. The number two potential area for conflict is being in a building program. I said, well, we need this message then. We want to head Satan off from Jump Street. All right, we want to head him off from Jump Street. All right, there's 10 things. There's 10 of them. Maybe I'll make copies of it next week and bring it. I forget what number one was now. I guess because number two stuck out in my mind. Number one must not have been applicable to us. All right. Here you go. Two more. Paul and Barnabas, two great men of God. Two men who were the foundation of the church. Two men who God used in a great and mighty way, but here they had a difference of opinion. In Acts chapter 15, two godly men, no question about their godliness, that they bumped up against one another. Acts chapter 15 in verse 36. And here they had come back from a missionary journey. Man, they had seen God do great things on this journey. They saw God do wonderful miracles. Man, you talking about miracles unsurpassed. Souls saved. People get right. They had seen great things done. And they were getting ready to go again in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. What did they do? They were preaching the word of God. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul didn't want to take him. Now, okay, that's fine. We got a little difference of opinion, but look at this. And I didn't look this up in the Greek, but I can imagine what this was saying there. And the contention was so sharp. It wasn't like, well, you know what, man? I don't agree with you. You know, it said the contention. Evidently, man, Paul and Barnabas, two godly men. What's wrong with you? Man, don't you remember the last time that we was out there and we was witnessing and John Mark left? And here, you know, like a little baby, he had to run home to mommy. And we out here trying to do God's work. And this little sissy is out here and he don't want to get his hands dirty and he don't want to do this. The contention between Paul and Barnabas. But I don't care what you say, Paul. I know what's in this young man, and I think we ought to take him with us. The contention was so sharp that the Bible says that they departed asunder, one from another. So Barnabas took Mark, and Paul sailed into Cyprus. They split. That's the, See, saints, we need to realize that the potential for conflict is here. Don't put your head under the sheet. Don't bury your head under the sand. Don't think that we are part of an environment where everybody is just so Holy Ghost filled and loving and spirit filled that nobody is ever going to say anything wrong. You know what? I praise God, because let me say this. I've seen some saints here that have taken some roughness from other saints. I've seen some saints here get roughed up. And I stood back and I said, whoa, let me ease them over here and see if I can minister and bind up some wounds. But you know what? The saint was so strong in the Lord that they just, like that Timex, take a licking and keep on ticking. And that's what God is trying to tell us, is that, you know, in ministry sometimes you're going to bump. You're going to bump up against each other. In families, you're going to bump up against each other. But you got to learn how to keep rolling. You can't let it. Can you imagine when you get to heaven and you sat down on God and you stopped serving God, and God said, well, why did you stop serving me? Because it hurt my feelings. No, we got to be bigger than that now. We got to be bigger than that, saints. And we got to roll on. Let me hit this last one. I'm done. The last two. Paul and Peter. Look at Galatians chapter 2, and I'm done. Galatians chapter 2. Now, if you're talking about two great saints, I mean, both of these guys are deified in the Catholic Church, Peter and Paul. But see, we see they got, you know, they put their shoes on just like everybody else. Verse 11 of Galatians chapter 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. You know what Paul said? He said, when Peter came to Antioch, you know, Peter came skipping into town. Oh, praise God. You know, we're serving God, and we're seeing the work of God done, and, man, we're seeing souls saved. And Paul said, man, I went and got in his face. I went and got all up in his face. I confronted him. He said, I withstood him to his face. If that's not conflict, I don't know what is. He said, for before certain men came from James, he did eat with Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them who were of the circumcision. See, before that, Peter had no problem, you know, eating with Gentiles, because, hey, that's all that was there. So he sat down and he ate pork ribs and he ate pig feet and he had some bacon and some sausage, and he was having a good time eating with the Gentiles. Hot sausage. He was throwing down, man. Had the juice dripping down the side of his mouth. He was eating pork left and right. And then the brothers came from Jerusalem. Oh, I don't eat pork. I don't eat pork anymore. Paul said, man, I got in his face, man. He said, I got in his face. What you trying to pull off here, man? What you trying to do? You know, just because these brothers are coming up here from Jerusalem, all of a sudden you saying that you withdrew yourself from them, you're not fellowshipping with them anymore. And Paul got in his face, and there was contention between the two of them. But I believe somewhere along the line they got it worked out. They worked through it. All right. So my point today is this, is that we need to see that there is potential for conflict at any time. But we need to be anointed with the oil of the shepherd, so that when the conflict comes, we can bump heads and slide up.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Bumping Heads with Other Saints, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.